Hey guys, and thank you for joining me in a very special episode of Break the Cycle, the Valentine's edition. I'm here with Monica Taveras, who's one of my closest friends and also my neighbor, Monica.
Hello everyone, my name is Monica. As Arlenny mentioned, I am her neighbor. The way we met actually was at Best Buy, which is funny because right after we later found out that we were officially neighbors, which is weird, but that's how the story went. I currently go to Mercy College, where I'm majoring in psychology, and I'm also a business administration minor. And unfortunately, I graduate in a couple more years, but that's in God's will.
It's a journey.
It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see what we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
That's exciting. So, yeah.
So, the reason I wanted to have Monica on this episode and on this podcast is because, one, me and her always have like really deep conversations just about life, and she's one of the many friends in my circle and in my network that I feel like I learn from, and I always like take certain things from in terms of like I really start to see the world in their perspective. So I wanted to have her, and also because it's Valentine's week, right? And it's all about love and shit, right? So I feel like me and Monica, one thing that's so interesting is we get along because we have a lot of things in common.
Right.
But, like, I think one of the most different things about us is the way we view love and the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, like, our love languages, if that makes sense.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I feel like, why do you think they're different? Because I feel like, I don't know if it's the same reason why I think it's different.
We're so different when it comes to, like, whenever we show, like, love and affection. For example, I know that you're the type of person that's like, oh, no, get away from me. You don't like affection, but I'm the complete opposite. I crave affection. I love affection. The way I view love is more of like, you have to be there for me emotionally and physically. Like, you have to be, it has to be both. Like, I like consistency. So, I like consistency. What that means to me is that you have to be there for me at my highs and lows. You can't only be there for me at my highs, because if you're there whenever I'm happy, where are you at the lowest points? You know what I mean? And I feel like relationships now in this generation is so materialistic, now that you look at it. Everything's materialistic. People get together and don't know what they're doing with their lives. Like, for me, I don't know about you, but I date to marry. And that may sound super... Yes.
I don't. Wait, but like... I just have a question about that real quick. Sorry to interrupt. But like, so when you say you date to marry,
mm-hmm.
so every person you date, or like, let's say if you date somebody, you date with the intention of like, I want this to
not
become long-term
necessarily
in marriage?
Not necessarily like dating and intending to have a marriage with them. It's more of like, I want to see the qualities that my future husband would have and the future qualities that I don't want my future husband to have. So I don't want like, I don't know how to explain it. It's in the sense of like, I want to see every person that I date, it's like more like a trial and error.
Yeah.
Like maybe, okay, I could potentially see me marrying this person, but at the end of the day, like, I'm looking at all those negative, like, points, and that's it. It's done. It's dead and done.
So if you're dating someone that has everything you're looking for in your future husband, and it's somebody that you see yourself marrying, you already, like, mentally you're like, not now, but I'm going to marry this person.
I'm going to marry this person,
that's
right?
That's crazy to me.
But that's another reason why, like...
But that's why we see things differently.
We do see things differently, and I feel like every single relationship that I've had...
Yeah.
There were always relationships that were long-term. I've never really had a relationship that was short-term. Probably the shortest relationship I've had was, like, almost a year.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah. Like, the longest relationship, like, guys... The longest relationship I've had was literally 5 years. So that's what I mean. Like, I'm a very patient person.
So what's the key to that? Like, do you feel like it's perseverance? Do you feel like it's, like, because you look at them like, I want this long term, and it's the goods are more than the bad, or whatever?
One, I would definitely say patience.
Mm-hmm.
Yo.
Yeah, you got patience.
You need a lot of patience.
Monica got mad patience,
bro. Y'all have no clue how much patience I've got. Like...
I get impatient looking at you being patient.
Literally. And, like, that's the thing with me and Darlene. We get in a lot of disagreements when it comes to my patience, just because, you know, I don't know, us as friends, when you see a friend that's struggling and you know what they deserve, she's more like, no, Monica, you shouldn't be so patient. But, like, I'm the complete opposite. I like to see the good in people. I like to see their highest potential. And I think that's the reason, unfortunately, why I get into all these long-term relationships that don't work out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but I think that's, like, a difference in our in our love language. But I think that's a kind of love language. Because that's, like, a friendship love language. Like, you don't want to see your friends suffer. And I think as friends, we always give advice through our lens. Mm-hmm. So, like, I give you the advice of, like, that I would give myself. Like, bitch, like, one and done. One like, and as done, soon as one strike and you're out, you know? Yeah. Like, she be giving you, like, 10 strikes. And maybe you could be out.
This is the very last straw. But, you know, but that's my thing. It's also a blessing, and it's also, like, not the best thing to have, because sometimes you could give those chances to the wrong people.
It's rolling the dice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's rolling the dice. Like, it's really taking a chance. Sometimes you could be, like, in a relationship with someone for so long, you realize this is not the person I want to marry or date, and that's the hardest part. And then what do you do? Yo, so there was this one time I was with this person. He's not going to be named in this, but we're dating for a year, almost two, and I just noticed that he wasn't the person for me. He didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Literally, like, he treated me like a queen. Like, he would spoil me. He would give me gifts. He would give me all of this. Everything that you can ask for. Yeah. And, like, literally my mind was just like, I'm done. I don't think I want to see a future with him. One, I feel like, okay, remember how I told you guys how, like, I like consistency? I don't like people who are overbearing. In terms of, like, they're just fucking clingy.
Like, annoying.
Yeah, like, just very annoyed. Like, annoying.
Yeah.
Sorry. And it's more like, they want to be with you 24/7. They don't give you a time to breathe. They don't do any of that for you. So it's like, I just didn't, why would I want that for my future? Why would I want to be with someone that doesn't let me hang out with my friends? That doesn't want me to wear things that I want to wear?
Yeah.
Because that was also another thing. He was very controlling in that aspect of, like, oh, while you're going out with your friends, I want to come too. Literally, it would be, like, a group of girls, and he would want to come involved in it.
And
like,
was that, like, since the beginning, or was that, like, since as the beginning, the relationship
and
developed?
That's the issue with me. I have a lot of patience.
So it was like you were giving him a chance to change, and
exactly,
he never changed.
And he never changed. So that's when I called it quits, and I feel like when it comes to love, you need to know your limits, just because the one person that you have to love is yourself.
I agree.
100%. You always have to put yourself first.
But I also think that when it comes to love, and this is something I had to learn too, because I feel like I used to be like you and, like, you know, life just hit. But I feel like you can fall in love with potential. Because I used to be the kind of person, like, I would see people for what they could be. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'll be like, yo, like, you can be so great. And I know you have, like, a heart. And you can be empathetic. And you could be this and the other. But I wouldn't see them for what they are. Because to me, it's like, oh, he's going to change. I'm going to help change him. Or maybe being with me will help him want to change. Like,
and sometimes that's not the case. At all. And that's what I started learning in this relationship I'm in now. Like, you know, and this one thing, too, because the current relationship I'm in now, like I said, the first relationship you have to have is within yourself. And I feel like I did take a couple months for myself to realize that and understand that the only person that's going to be here at the end of the day is myself. I need to love me before anyone loves me. And that's when the real love comes into play.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like once you love yourself, and, like, all those love, like, all those relationships I talked about, I think that was a part where I didn't really love myself. In a sense, because it's like, if you give so many chances, like, you don't really see, like, how can I explain it? It's more like, you don't see your highest potential. You feel like that's what you deserve, and that's what you deserve only.
I agree. And I think a lot of people set that for themselves. Like, mm-hmm. they fall in love with what they think they deserve. And they get treated in ways of, like, this must be what you think is love, you know? And I feel like, for me, personally, it's not that I'm, like, pessimistic or cynical about love. It's just, it's not that I don't date to marry. It's that I think very carefully before investing my time. And of course, feel like the only reason, like, I do eventually want to get married in my life, but I'm not the kind of person, like, I don't put a timeline on people. Like, I would never date somebody and be like, oh, in 5 years or less, you have to propose. Like, if not, I would actually want it to, like, make that process as long as possible. Maybe be friends for 2 years, fall in love, like,
it's with always who we good are. To start a friendship with someone.
Always, because that's sure. the foundation. It's a foundation. And then date maybe like 10, 15 years and like really live with each other and get to know each other to a point where we know everything from the worst of the worst to the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I want my proposal. I still want it to be romantic, but I want it to be like, duh, like, nigga, course. We might as well be married. Well be married. Everything we've yeah. been through, you know, like,
and that's cute.
But I think if you know that that's the person for your life, because a lot of people, when I tell them that, are like, what? Man. Who's gonna wait that long?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, if you know that we're spending the rest of our lives together, 15 years is nothing.
By the way, and we are talking about this, my grandparents do make 52 years
of marriage tomorrow. Not even a relationship.
Not even a relationship. 52 years of marriage.
How long they've been in together overall?
Probably 10 years before that, which is insane to me.
62 literally. Years, that's more than somebody's lifetime.
Yeah, and it's crazy because we're here talking about all our failed relationships, this and that, right? But it's like, how do we accomplish something like that? You know, in my family, growing up, both my parents, they've been married for 22 years. Then I see my grandparents from my dad's side, they've been married for 20-something years. And then my grandparents from my mother's side, like I said, they make 52 years tomorrow. And I feel like I think that's another reason why I always set myself to, like, date to marry is because I see that in my household. So I'm like, yo, I want that.
Yeah.
I want a man just like my father. Oh, I want a man just like my grandfather. Because I am a daddy's girl. So when you see, like, your father treating your mother so right and, like, treating her and loving her the way she deserves to be, you want that in your life. And you want to, like, build that. But then, you know...
See, but that's why I feel like...
It's so complicated.
Like, I don't know if you've ever heard people say, like... There's some people that will be, like, nature versus nurture, right?
Right.
And, like, nurture is more like what you see at home. And I do think that what you see at home does affect things like that. Of course. How you see love. Because it's not that my parents have a terrible relationship. It's not that. It's just, like... They've been together 22 years, and they've been through all the highs and the lows. And me personally,
and that's marriage, you know. That's
yeah,
marriage.
It yeah. is. But like for me, there are things that I would see, and I think that also comes from coming from like a machista country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'll see my dad speak to my mom a certain way, and I'll think, and to her that's normal because that's what she grew up seeing, and that's how it was when she was growing up. Versus for me, growing up in this country where like women and men for the most part are treated equally, I'm like, why are you letting him talk to you like that?
Exactly.
So I would feel like, yo, like, me personally, I'll be like, yo, like, I don't want that. I want something different. I want to be 50-50. I want it to be like, nobody talks to me crazy. But also me, I wouldn't want to talk to nobody crazy. Yeah, you know? But, like, then it's like, oh, you know, I don't know. Like, I also think when you come from a home where you don't see a stable relationship or something like that.
That affects you a lot. And you know what's crazy now that you say that? There's a lot of people, and it's not to, like, judge anybody. This is life. We all go through it. Some people don't grow up with fathers. Yeah. And then there's some men out there. Yeah. And it's not their fault. There's some men out there, and even women, that, like, for example, men, like, when they don't have a male figure in their life, they just act reckless as fuck because they don't really...
Not all of them.
Not all of them. Sorry, not all of them.
But it's easier. They're more vulnerable.
They're more vulnerable to that nature of, I don't really know how to be like act like a man, so I'm gonna treat women like they're smaller. And I'm not saying that for all men. There's some great women that play both a mother and a father relationship, and they create the best men in the world. I've seen it.
Yeah.
But there's some men that are just like they feed off of that. You know,
or like they've gotten the wrong male role model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even with girls, like even with women, like some girls don't have a father figure in their life, and they start searching for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Girl.
And then when they fall in love, like, they're searching for that love and their attention.
And they crave that.
But they look for... Well, I'm not saying that, like, all these girls that had those daddy issues get mistreated. Because
it's not everybody.
But, like, it's something that if you don't catch it and if you don't really, like, try to catch awareness...
Yeah, if you don't change it, when you first see it, it's going to, like, you know, really affect you.
Yeah, because it's, like... I think we all look for what we've seen at home in our mm-hmm. relationships. Because we want to build a different home with somebody. And we want them to be our home.
Exactly.
You know? So we're like, I'm looking for somebody.
That's the goal initially. Because you're going to want, I mean, to me, not to you.
Nah, you never know.
I do date to marry, so that's how I see it.
I don't know. Like, and also for me, dating, I'm very, like, I trust the universe. I'm all about the universe. Of course. I don't actively look for shit. Mm-hmm. We're OD spiritual. But I feel like the difference is, like, you're more proactive than me. Like, you're more, like, you'll flirt back. You'll, like, make dates. You're, like, you'll do so much. And, like, me, I'll be, like, if it's the right person, it'll just work.
Yeah.
Like, he'll chase me the right amount of times, and I'll chase him the right amount of times, and it'll just happen. But, like, for me, I won't put in, like, I won't actively look for somebody. I'll just be like, oh, he'll appear.
He'll appear. And I think that's always where I wanted that mindset. And, like, with this relationship that I'm currently in right now, sort of similar. I mean, like, the way me and him met, he found me. I didn't find him. Because it was more like, I was like, you know what? After that bad, you know about this mm-hmm. bad breakup that I had, mm-hmm. that me and you went through, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be single for
a minute.
And then, like, he just came into my life, and I don't know. That's the thing about love. Like, it's very unexpected. Like, you don't really catch it. Like, it just happens to you, like, by surprise.
Do you feel like it evolved into love, or do you feel like it was love?
No. It definitely evolved into love, let me tell you. And I'm going to talk about it, because we're here. But, you know, right now, currently in this state where me and him are, we're finally in a good spot.
Yeah.
We were always arguing back and forth in the very beginning. We never got along. Like, I saw this kid as my enemy, and it's because we both had different love languages. And that's the issue. Like, we're very, very opposite in love. And that's when you have to, like, talk to your partner and see, like, you know, that's when you have to go to your partner and see, like, what are some certain things that I can fix in order to make this relationship work.
That's true.
You know, so with him, he's very, very, I'm a very emotional person. So whenever I show love, I'm extremely affectionate. He's the exact opposite, but he shows love through, like, his actions, not really through words. And I like actions and words. So, you know, we had issues with that. But now, like, once we got to really mold and, like, know each other, like, we actually genuinely love and care for each other. And I feel like when you're in a good spot like that, nothing can go wrong from there. You know the flaws that you guys both have, and you know how to fix it. And it's honestly the best we've ever been. Like, I really do like this kid, obviously. But, you know, sometimes, like, things, it's not like, I don't believe in love at first sight. I know a lot of people believe in love at first sight.
I do.
What?
Yeah, girl, I didn't expect that from you.
I really do. Really?
Because I feel like, all right, I'm not saying, you meet somebody, you're like, I love you. Like, it's not that deep. But I think, like, I believe that you can see somebody and just know. And, like, then it'll evolve and develop and this and whatever.
With Chris, with my current boyfriend, I did see that, but I didn't think it was love. It was more like
A spark.
Like a little.
I believe in that, yeah.
I believe in those. Okay.
Yeah, I believe that you could see somebody and be like, oh, yeah. What? Like, fuck.
I see that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Because I know, like, you will feel that spark, but you're like, okay, a spark, but you could, or you could be like, I could potentially love this person in the future. There?
You know what I be feeling? Not that. Maybe something close to it, but I be feeling like there's people in my life that I don't like them. Like, I don't have feelings for them. Like, my heart just isn't in it. You know, my body isn't in it.
Right.
But I'll be like, yo, this would be a great person for me to be with. And I wish I almost could definitely like this person. Like, there are times I'm like, yo, I wish I could feel something for this person. Because I feel
you just
like,
can't, right?
And I feel like I'm blocking my blessings. Like, yo, but then I ask myself, like, are you expecting
but
to
you
feel
that
something
way for a
bigger?
Reason.
Yeah. No. Sometimes I'll be asking myself,
you feel
like
for a reason.
Maybe, yeah, for a reason. But sometimes is it like my own mind blocking my blessings? Like, what if I just am patient and give myself the chance? Because with my ex, and everybody who knows me knows how that breakup went. But like mm-hmm. with my ex, which I was in a relationship with 3 years ago, it was a complex relationship. But for the most part, we built a whole friendship. Like, we were together. Not together. We were best friends for a year. Like, besties for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it grew into a relationship. And after that, One, I would never want to love somebody that way, because I feel like when you're that age, like, I was with him from 15 to 18, and, like, I think that's the time period where you're immature, and you love immaturely, and you're so selfish at that age. Like, you love...
And I'm not going to even hold you now that you get to that part. I always believe that people at that age... Okay, I could be wrong to the viewers who are watching, but just in my personal opinion, I don't think one can feel love at that age, and you're kind of right. You do have immature characteristics at that age.
You can love you, possessively. Like, you want them to be yours and love the way you want them to love. And I think that's how you love. Like, it's not that I don't think you can't love. Because
sometimes I'm
like...
It's unhealthy.
It's unhealthy, yeah. And sometimes I'm like, did I really love him? And it's like, yeah, I did. It's just... It was not my love fully developed or fully blossomed.
Exactly.
You know? Like, there are loves where it's like, you really have to, like... You have to mature. And you have to really find, like... And that's why I feel like it's important for me personally, I want to be single for as long as, you know, until God and the universe.
And you know what I love that you say to me? I'm so sorry to interrupt you. But whenever I ask you, oh, like, you know, why you're single, and I'm, you know, I love that you're single. Like, I love this side of you. You're doing great. Like, you're doing everything you need to do. You always say, I'm not ready to open that door yet because I'm not the best person that I need to be in order to be in a relationship.
Yes. Like, I always say, like, this to everybody.
All the time.
Like,
that's her answer to everybody.
And I think I said this in the last episode because it's like, I'm not who I need to be to find the person I want to be with. Like,
yeah, you said that in the last episode, actually. You did.
Oh, you listened?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. If you listen, thank you. Anybody listening right now. But, yeah, like, because, you know... The fuck do I look? I'm not saying that CEO can't fall in love with a McDonald's worker. Like, Made in Manhattan proved us wrong. But it's like, but her mind was on some CEO shit. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like, I can't expect to be like, yo, I want to date, like, a boss, an entrepreneur. And I'm here not thinking like a boss, not thinking innovative, not taking myself to the highest level. It's not even about title. It's about evolution. Like, if I'm not growing, how am I supposed to, like, date somebody that is trying to grow? And I think...
You're not ready for that person.
And I don't want
to
fuck it up.
And I think that's important for everybody to understand, too, like, viewers as well. Always date someone that has goals set for their life the same way you... motivate for life, because honestly, if you date someone that's just not as motivated as you, that relationship
is not gonna last.
It's not.
I also think a lot of people they just settle. Like, I think you can be so in love with the idea of love that you just settle. Like, this person loves me. And
oh, yeah, you're absolutely right with that too.
Because then you find yourself with clingy people or people that just don't speak the same language. Like me, I say I hate clingy people. I can be clingy, but in the right circumstances with the right people. And my clingy isn't your clingy. Like, my clingy might be, like, just me wanting to, like, be, you know, hugging you or
our
cuddling you.
Our clingies are so different because not even that deep. And guys take it as deep.
Deep. It don't even be, I would just be like, I
it's
just
like
want warmth.
A crumb, like a spark. And they take it as, like, oh, chill.
I'm not ready to date. I just want to hug, nigga. It's cold.
It's cold outside.
Exactly. Wow. So, for me... It's just there's some people that will settle or will be like, well, at least this person's loving me even though I don't feel nothing for them.
Exactly.
Or they just lie to themselves just for the sake of being in a relationship. Because some people fall in love with the company. Like, they like just having company.
That's not okay either.
It's not okay, but
because
it's...
Because that's all you rely on.
Yeah. And then, you know, you might find somebody there, like, but for the most part, it's just a... Because then you build a codependent relationship. And then now you're addicted to this person.
Now you can't let them go.
Exactly.
I feel like also going on that topic, you really need to balance yourself out when you're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to balance out friends, family, your relationship. It can't always be about that one person because that's how that relationship will end up very unhealthy. And trust me, I've gone through not so many relationships. I've only been in three, but like I'm saying, I've been in like multiple relationships. With those relationships that I know how unhealthy that gets, because then you end up clinging to that person. And I feel like once you balance everything out and once you got everything settled, you love that person more, because not only is it like sustainable, it's also a healthy relationship, because now you have everything balanced. If he does leave you, you have your friends still. You still have your family to talk to. Is not going to be just him. You're not going to invest so much time in him. Like, for example, me and you are in a relationship, right? I invest all my time in you. All of it. And I don't talk to nobody. Not my friends, know nothing. And we break up. who am I gonna grieve to?
Yo,
who am I gonna cry to?
Thank you. Thank
who am I gonna
thank
who am I gonna
thank
laugh
you,
with?
Thank you.
Like
thank you.
I invested so much time with you because you're my best friend.
Yes.
And it's like, damn, now yes. I'm my best friend in my life.
Thank you
anymore.
For bringing that up, because there are people mm-hmm. that like I think
it's
once
sad.
They get in a relationship, they forget all like they had friends. And
I was like that, and I'm gonna admit that I'm very very honest when it comes.
Like,
to myself.
I don't think that people do it
I
actively,
like
but I think it's just. You got this is my thing, and this is my thing towards everything, but especially
mm-hmm.
here. Keep your energy. Like, mm-hmm. it's I'm not saying people do it on purpose, but it's like if you
and
know
don't.
That you, you know, I get you want to spend time with your boyfriend or whatever, but if you completely forget your friends, neglect your friends, and then you come to them once you're broken up, and you notice that they don't respond the way you want them to, or they're not there for you, or maybe
right.
like they're just not like as close to you as you thought, because now you're back, like they're not acting the way you expected. You have to reflect.
You have
and
to
wonder why.
Reflect.
And that has to be something you reflect
and
on. Like, was
why,
I neglectful?
And I feel like with people like that, advice to anybody who's, like, listening to this, advice not because I was that person, be single for a bit. And then, like, really set your priorities straight and, like, see how you're like when you're single. Because what ended up happening when I ended up finally being alone, because I was one of those girls that I couldn't be alone. Like, I literally had to be in
why
every
was
single
that? Like,
relationship.
Why do you think that
I
was?
Think the reason for that is because I love love. Like, no way to explain it.
She's so excited right now. Like,
guys.
She lit up. She lit up, bro.
Literally. If you meet me in person, you know that I'm super cocky about myself. I have no type of not a bone, not a flesh
of
insecurity.
Because she's a bad bitch. Period.
Oh, thank
period.
You.
Period.
Thank
period.
You.
If you see her, you'll understand well, why I say
I'm
what
I'm about
to
tear up in this podcast. Not but I'm very confident in the way I carry myself, the way I am as a person. I love everything about myself. But one thing, and I'm not even a lonely person. Like, I have a great family. Darlene's met my family. They're amazing. Like, it's nothing to do with that. I just love love. Like, I don't know how to explain it. And it may be...
Do you love loving people?
I
or
love,
do you love
loving
getting
people.
Loved?
I love loving people. I just love it. I don't know why. I sound so crazy right now, but yo, I'm just a really cool person. I'm just a very nice person. My mom always told me, like, growing up, she always saw that I didn't like being alone.
Yeah, I remember you told me this.
I don't
yeah.
like being alone. And it doesn't even have to be in the relationship aspect, y'all. It's with family, with friends. I don't like being alone. Like, I feel like literally if I were the only person on this earth with no people, I would go crazy.
But do you feel like that's because you're afraid of yourself? Like, why are you afraid to be alone, of your solitude?
Possibly because of myself. I don't want to. I mean, I know myself, but do I really want to know more of myself? And it's crazy because I'm a very spiritual person, but I never want
to
get that deep within.
What are you
I'm
afraid
scared.
To, like, find out?
I have no idea.
Because then it's like...
It's weird.
Because my hypothesis, and I've known you for a minute now, like, more than, like, six,
almost
2 years.
Almost
2 years? Almost
2 years.
Almost 2 years.
We met in 2018. I'm...
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Yo, time is flying.
I'm flying.
I
well,
feel like it was yesterday that we met.
It makes 2 years this year.
Oh, yeah, it was 2 years.
It was
about
two, almost
2 years. So
mm-hmm.
I've known her for a minute. And I always thought it's because it was easier for you to invest that energy in others than yourself. Like, that's
oh
why I thought you were like
yeah,
that.
That's also that, too. I just feel like, okay... And it goes back to me being a nice person. I'm such a people pleaser. When it comes to anything, like, I love to please people. I love to make people happy. I like to see a smile on people's faces. But it's more of, like, that feeling, that reward when you see someone happy about their day because you made it that way is the best feeling in the world.
But it can get...
And it can kill you. I know. But it's weird because I'm not an insecure person. So when am I doing that?
No, I understand. I just feel like there could be a negative side of people pleasing. Like, I think... What if it's somebody that's hard to please or you don't please them or, like...
But what if...
Wouldn't that affect you negatively?
It would, but, like, what if all that people need... This sounds so cheesy, but what if all they need is love?
Bye. All right,
no,
guys.
No.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Break the Cycle. Yeah.
Yeah, just end it.
What?
No, and I'm saying that
but
because...
But that's not your job to give it to
them. It's not my job.
They have to give it to themselves.
I,
every week, I feel like we have this debate of, like, how much is too much? Like, how much mm-hmm. is giving too much of yourself?
I mean, the way I see it, the way I was raised, I've just I learned how to be a very compassionate person. And I feel like I've never given that to myself, how to love myself and be patient with myself. I love myself, but it's different, what I'm trying to say.
Do you feel
it's
like you love like yourself with the same intensity? Tension.
Yeah,
that I don't you, think so. That you love others?
No.
But what?
And
but Monica, you have to do that first. Like, no, seriously, because I know this girl. She loves hard, like, with the capital H. Like, bro.
It's crazy.
And I think you have to... You have to be your Monica for mm-hmm. you. You have to love yourself.
But I am. Because I do love myself, but it's more like...
Not like feeling yourself, but
no, like... It's... I'm not so compassionate when it comes to myself.
Why? You're so compassionate with others.
And it's more like, I feel like, okay, you know when you see the ugly of yourself and you feel like, wow, like, I don't want to show this part to anybody. So I don't think I'm deserving of, like, being that for myself. Guys, it's weird, but that's how I feel. But I'm working on it. Day by day.
It's a process.
It's a process because I do genuinely need to learn how to accept myself, like, alone. And I'm not talking about with in a relationship. That's how I ended up balancing everything out.
Yeah.
So once I was ready for a relationship, I did balance out my friends, my family, everything. That's how I learned. But I'm talking about having those little weekends off for yourself. Yeah. And, like, taking time for yourself.
To hang out with you.
Yeah, like, hang out with myself. And as weird as it sounds, I never really went out with myself as in, like, taking the train and just, like, going shopping and going out by myself.
Girl,
I've never
you
done
need a
any
Monica
of that.
Day.
Yeah, I need a whole day for myself to, like, actually learn what Monica likes. Without my mom, without my sisters, without you, without my man. Oh, excuse me. None of that. And I feel like I've never taken the time to do that because I have no idea.
Can that be your 2020 challenge?
That should be my 2020 challenge. And you're challenging me to do so.
Like,
and I want to challenge you something.
Oh, fuck. Anyways, thank you for joining us and bring us like, goodbye. What's my challenge? Oh, my God.
I need you to be compassionate towards other people in terms of loving.
Oh, my. What does that mean?
Girl.
What does
you
that mean?
You have to.
But what do you mean? Like, elaborate.
Okay.
Like, give me an example.
An example is, I know it's not going to happen anytime soon because you are doing your own thing. You're killing it here. But it's more of, like, when you do end up finding that person that you like, remember how we in the beginning of this episode, we talked about that you just let things go with the flow?
Yeah.
Be a Monica for a minute.
Oh,
and I'll be a Darlene for a minute. And you're just, you know, like, just learn how to, like...
Like, love that. If I meet... I promise you, if
promise
I meet that person...
In 2020, if you meet that person...
Well, what if I don't meet him in 2020? Then I
then
can't...
Then that's your New Year's resolution for 2021.
What if I don't meet that again until, like,
2026? 2022.
Until I meet him.
2023.
I promise when I meet that person, I'll be open to
yes,
loving him. Because
you really do need to try something different. And I feel like I also need to try something different as well. Actually, I did. Because I remember... You know, I've been trying that thing because me and Darlene, we always, like, this is my go-to person whenever it comes to, like,
same.
Anything.
I feel like we balance each other
we
out.
We balance each other
she looks
out.
At, like, the best of everything. I don't look at the worst, but I look at the realistic. And then, like, vice versa. Like, when she's, like, being a little, like, pessimistic or too realistic, I'll be like, well, you never know. Like,
yeah.
We just balance each other
most
out.
Most definitely. And I feel like, you know, I feel like when, you know, we were talking about it, it really did balance out my relationship because I kept that balance. And I know I say that, oh, I don't like being alone with myself, da da da, but I am working on it. My relationship just gets better and better.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like once you figure out all these little flaws in you, when you are dating that someone, it's just so good. It feels so good. Like, I'm genuinely happy in the relationship that I'm in now. Like, I am not going to even lie. I'm really happy.
Yeah.
Because it's with someone that understands, like, what I've become, who I'm becoming, and supports that through it all. And, like, yes, I might not have found myself yet, but I know he's going to be supportive in that way. And he's very balanced, too.
Yeah.
He's not clingy. He's not over-obsessed.
Yeah.
He's not neglectful. He's not out here in these streets doing
balance.
Nothing. He's a great balance to me. And I love it because he's also very healthy for my mental health, which we'll be talking about later, soon.
Yo, we're
soon.
Doing an episode on mental
yes.
health that's going to get so real.
It's super real. So when it comes to those things, you really need someone like that.
Yeah.
And, like, there's always more work to come.
So that's my fear. Because I don't know about you, but and I don't know if any listeners can relate to this, but have you ever met somebody? Okay, so you know how in your birth charts, if you don't know about astrology, I'll try to it as simple as possible. But you know, like in your birth charts, there's your sun sign, which is like, you know, your sign. And then there's
your rising.
Your moon. Mm-hmm. But your rising, which is interesting, it's like how people perceive you versus your moon, which is like how you actually are, especially in terms of emotions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even if you're not into astrology, I feel like that's true. Like, there's a way that we think people are and we see them, and there's the reality. So, like, the bully could be really sensitive.
It even applies if you're not even interested in astrology, but it's just crazy how when you get to meet someone, and in astrology's point of view, you meet their moon sign. You meet their within.
But that's what I'm saying. Sometimes people fall in love with your rising. Sometimes people fall in love with who they think you are. And then when you show who you really are, they're like, wait, I didn't sign up for this. Because they thought you were somebody else.
And that's what I love about Chris is, like, he saw that part. Like, that layer.
Yeah.
That people, that people see. And he went within. He's like, yo.
But that's rolling the dice. This shit ugly,
but
I'm going to still be,
and I'm going to still love her.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I only show that side to my, you know, my very close friends, like, you know, Daryl Lenny, my family, my friends, anyone like that. But it's the truth.
But it's rolling the dice.
It's very rolling the dice.
For me, you know, like, I come off as feisty. I'm very, like, to the point. I don't got time for this. And I'm very, like, I'm flirtatious and fun or whatever. But I'm very, like, people I think guys, not all, but most guys tend to like about me like that. Like, the feistiness and the, like, playing word games type shit.
And it's like,
and then when they get to see me, like, but I'll be like, yeah, like, when you really break that wall, it's like, I'm very emotional. Yeah. Not emotional in a bad way, but I'm very, like, I love just like you. I just do a better job at, like, guarding my love. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're like, oh, shit, this is not what I signed up for. And it's like, this is who I am. And not everybody's going to want to stay. I feel like you just have to get lucky. You have to meet that person that's willing, like you said, to meet you and know you're ugly.
And know
like, oh, shit, bitch, like, you got some ugly sides. But I love this about you.
I love this about you. I love that about Chris, bro. And, like, I don't know how to explain it, but I think that's what really caught my eye.
Yeah,
I showed you crazy. I showed you anger. I showed you, like, sadness. I showed you every single part of me, and you still were like, I'ma stay. Yo.
You're a real one.
You're real. Like, that's, yo.
You're a fucking real one.
I wouldn't say
Shout out to Chris.
Shout out to Chris. I also wanted to ask this.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about it. So, you know what irks me? What? And it irritates me. And I really want to talk about
this.
Grinds my gears crazy. Is how... no tea to anyone, bro. No nothing. No shade, nothing. I just don't like the way YouTube couples perceive their relationships. Because once it comes out to the media...
Yeah.
It's just a whole shit show.
Yeah.
And I don't... Like, guys, trust me. I binge watch for YouTube videos. I love YouTube videos. I love watching the Ace family. I love watching the Brand fam. I love all those family channels. But when it comes down to it, you hear all these gossips. Well, not the Brand fam, but, like, you hear all these gossips about these, like, YouTube channels, and you're like...
Even about the Ace?
Huh?
Even about Ace?
Yeah, the Ace family, right?
Yeah, but I never heard nothing bad about them. So, but I don't be into all of that.
I don't like. I mean, like, I heard that he, like, Austin, like, cheated on her or anything like that. I'm not really into it, but, like, I see it. Like, during the comment sections or anything like that. I'm like, yo, like, I just don't. I don't know. I feel like if I made a YouTube channel, I'll be so honest.
Then I'd be like, yo, he cheated on me. That'll be the caption and shit.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, those things irritate me. When people, like, do all these things for clout, or, like, they just have a baby
Don't even get me started.
They have a baby to have a baby.
Bitches think babies are accessories.
And it's annoying. Like, listen. Oh, my God.
Like, if you want to have a baby, have a baby. Don't get me wrong. Like, what pro-choice means is not pro-abortion. It's pro whatever is right for you. But do it for the right reasons.
Intentions.
Like, exactly. Yeah, it's all about intentions. Like, if you're
intentions. Not because of how the baby's going
to
look.
Or, like, oh, you want to have a cute gender reveal. Like, bitch, you got your whole life to have a cute gender reveal.
Yeah, I've been literally your whole life. Yeah. I told Darlene that I do not want to have kids until I'm 30.
Me either.
La.
Maybe later.
Maybe later, but nothing later than that. But. That's something I really wanted to talk about just because it bothers me. Like, there's some couples. Oh, my God. And it used to be me. I was watching the Ace family, like, years ago. Like, I started watching them, like, when they first came out. And I'm like, yo, I wish I had a lot of money like Austin or Catherine so I could surprise, like, you know, my man with all these gifts. But, like, I'm not there yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, they make these relationships so materialistic and so perfect and picture perfect that it's like, that's not the real thing. And they're never going to show the real. And they're not going to show the hustle of how, like, they got to that point. They're just going to...
Or the fights in between.
Yeah.
Or the,
or and like that's not the, love. Like, I feel like... And that's why sometimes our generation, when it comes to love, they could be so toxic because that's all they see in the media is something that's perfection when it's not. And it bothers me. And I don't know why it bothers me so much, but it really does. Like, I'm looking at all these couples on YouTube, and they're acting so perfect. And then they break up on YouTube, and people are wondering why the fuck. But it's like, you weren't there when they were going through all these things. It bothers me. I don't know why it irritates me, but it just does.
Because it's not real. It's not authentic.
It's not authentic.
And I don't like how you have to live, like you said, a materialistic life to be the life you want to live. Like, I think one of the most authentic and genuine loves I've seen have been in very unexpected places. Mm-hmm. Like, whether it's two couples eating together, like two old couples in a diner, or, you know, like hood love, or just, I don't know, just people being authentically themselves and just loving each other no matter what the circumstances
are. No matter the circumstances.
Exactly. Like, maybe your wife is not the baddest bitch. Maybe your man isn't as healthy or doesn't look as good.
Like that song that J. Cole came out with, Love Yours.
Okay, you're gonna hate me.
Girl.
I don't know that song.
Yo, there's always gonna be a bitch that's better on the tour, but you're not gonna be happy if you don't love yours.
I don't know.
Dang.
I know almost every J. Cole song says that one.
Yeah. That song's good, though.
But yeah.
That song's good. It reminds me of that.
What advice would you give couples that are celebrating Valentine's Day and are going into the 2020 hoping that their relationship, you know, survives
this year?
Yeah, what advice would you give?
The advice that I would give, honestly, communication's key. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Patience. Oof. As much as we all hate it. Listen, there will be some days your partner will only give you, like, what, 20%, and you give an 80, but you have to fill in that 80. There's some days where you're going to give that 20%, and they're going to be giving that 80. By the end of the day, y'all a couple. If you want to, if you see this working out, fix it. That's one thing I will always, always say. Don't give up if you feel like it's worth it. And honestly, manifest things together. People who, like just, like, motivate each other. That's how you guys are going to get far in life. If you really see that person as love of your life, motivate each other.
And what would
chase the bag.
Period.
Like, period. That's,
period.
Yo, periodic table, bro. Like, yo, just period. Facts. Like, that's it.
What advice would you give single people?
Single people, find yourself.
Find yourself before you find your soulmate.
Before you find your soulmate. Because guess what? That's how you're going to find your soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, focus on yourself, love yourself, spoil yourself, treat yourself, regardless. Like, and that person will honestly just come to you without even realizing it because you're so focused and worried about yourself. You're not going to even worry about the next person,
facts,
sis.
Facts.
Like, you're going to flourish.
Facts.
Literally. Okay.
Well, we're almost running out of time, but I'm going to ask you two more questions that I ask all my guests.
Okay.
So, one, what advice would you give Monica from, like, 5 years ago? Like, when you were a teenager, like, 16-year-old Monica.
Honestly, 16-year-old Monica, I'll tell her, what are you doing? No, seriously. Like, I would literally tell her, like, listen, why you're not loving yourself? Why you're just making, like, guys treat you like shit? Like, why are you putting up with people that talk down on you, cheat on you, do all these things, and why you still stay? I would tell her, first of all, you're too young to be in a damn relationship. You're 16 years old. And honestly, just focus on yourself until you're ready, like, mature mentally in order to deal with those type of things.
Yeah.
Because those take a toll on you. Like, yes, I may have a lot of knowledge now, but it took me a lot of trauma and all of that to get to that point.
Yeah.
It's like...
Oh, sure.
Nah. But that's what I would tell her.
Okay.
For sure.
And the last question, because the show is called Break the Cycle, what's one way that you've broken a cycle, whether it's this last year or in your life?
one way that I broke in the cycle was just learning from, like, my family's mistakes or my friend's mistake and, like, not learning how to do that for myself.
Yeah.
Like, if I see something that I know is not going to benefit me, that's how I broke the cycle. I break the cycle by, like, just not doing what old Monica did, like, 5 years ago or 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Okay.
You learn from your mistakes. You learn from everything like that. And if you do them again, you gotta, you live and you learn.
You'll learn eventually.
You live and you learn. And I feel like with situations like that, it does make you into a better person. It sets your mindset stronger. It makes you, like, it just makes you more aware of, like, things that are to come in the future.
Yeah.
And that's how you break the cycle every day, is by learning through your mistakes.
Period.
And, like, learning that, you know, you could always be your better self.
Yeah.
Every single day. And loving yourself, honestly. The way I broke the cycle, too, is, like, just fighting those insecurities that I had when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Not feeling my worth when I was 16. Now look at me. I know my worth.
A bad bitch.
You have to, bro.
So, yeah. That was amazing. Thank you so much for being in this podcast and letting me talk to you. It was a pleasure.
I appreciate it.
Guys, check out Monica's Instagram at
m.onicaxx.
Okay, follow her. She's a bad bitch. You'll see exactly what I mean. But don't hit on her because she got a man.
Yeah, I have a man.
All right.
Just to fight you.
All right. Well, thank you and tune in for the next episode of Break the Cycle.
Bye.